The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not heed them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go out and in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, what a joy to be with you here in the pulpit again at First Lutheran Church. Some of you know that for 2 years I was here as your interim pastor, leading up to the time when Pastor Travis accepted your call. And it's wonderful to see so many familiar faces, but it's even more wonderful to see new faces. And so I'm glad that this congregation is growing and evolving. This scripture passage reminds me of a story. A tour was going through the area of Palestine, and they were on a tour bus. And the tour guide was explaining to the people how sheep always follow the shepherd. And he or she goes out in front and leads them. And as the bus went around a corner, they saw a flock of sheep. And lo and behold, the sheep herder was behind the flock of sheep, driving them. And the tour guide was embarrassed, and he asked the bus driver to stop. And he got out, and he questioned the sheep herder, "Why are you walking behind the sheep? Why are you not out in front so they can follow you?" And the sheep herder said, "Well, when you're taking the sheep to pasture, you can walk out in front of them and they follow you. But these sheep are going to the slaughterhouse, and so I have to drive them there. They don't want to go where I want them to go." So, oh my gosh. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you this day for the gift of your love and the gifts of grace that come to us as your people. As we gather here in the beauty of this sanctuary to hear your word and learn from it, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm actually using as the sermon text today the first lesson that Dusty read for you earlier from the second chapter of Acts. And I want to discuss with you what kind of a church it is that Jesus would belong to. And so the question that we ask ourselves this morning is, would Jesus himself be interested in becoming an active member of First Lutheran Church of Nashville? Or, indeed, would we be interested in having him? He was, after all, somewhat controversial. There are those people today who say that Christianity is irrelevant to life and disconnected from Jesus, and we hear about many people distancing themselves from the church. You might remember some years ago a video was produced called "Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus." Before a recent worship service in Iowa, the pastor read aloud a note that had been handed to him a few minutes earlier. It says here that I should announce there will be no BS. He tucked the piece of paper in his pocket and added, "I'm hoping they mean Bible study." People of all generations, of all ilks, of all walks of life, want a church that is true to Jesus, that is aligned with his ministry and mission. And so we have to ask, what would such a church look like? A church that doesn't express its faith only as a system of beliefs or a group of dogmas, but rather expresses it as a loving way of life. Living like the first century Christians did, as described in Acts and today's text. A just and generous way of life, rooted in contemplation and expressed in compassion. That's the kind of religion that Jesus founded. And my friends, it's the answer to the question, what church would Jesus belong to today? In the first chapter of Acts, Jesus tells his followers, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Then he disappears. Now his words become true according to the account in the second chapter of Acts, when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. We read there that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. So immediately the followers of Jesus became witnesses. They began to speak about God's deeds of power in languages that were clear to the international crowd that has gathered in Jerusalem. And then the Apostle Peter begins to speak about the life and death of Jesus, giving testimony about how God raised him from the dead, having freed him from death because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. And these words resulted in the baptism of 3,000 people on that one day alone. The power of the Christian message, you see, was communicated not only by words, but by deeds. And so Acts go on in our text today to tell us that the members of the church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and prayer and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They shared everything. In fact, they would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. And because of this just and generous way of life rooted in prayer and expressed in compassion, the church, it tells us, had the goodwill of all the people, and it continued to grow day by day as the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Clearly, this is the kind of religion that resembles its founder. And it's precisely the kind of church that Jesus would want to belong to, one defined by a loving way of life. So let's look for the next few minutes at what does such a life look like. First, it is a life that is not attached to material things. A pastor was met by a church member at the door after worship. The pastor commented on the great tie the man was wearing. That's a wonderful looking tie. The man smiled, thanked him, and immediately right there at the door, took it off and gave it to the pastor. Everyone seemed shocked and a little embarrassed by such a radical act of public generosity. But my friends, Jesus wants to be part of a church that is generous and not attached to material things. A church of this kind we see existed in Jerusalem, where members would sell their possessions and goods and distribute to any as had need. Congregations like that today put church mission ahead of everything else and give generously to programs that feed the hungry or shelter the homeless, welcome strangers, rescue vulnerable children, and visit people in prison and in the hospitals. They are not reluctant to practice extravagant generosity. And in my experience here with you, the people of First Lutheran Church, and you, I see your action and continue to see it on behalf of Room in the Inn and In Spiritus and the Nashville Rescue Mission and the Metro Nashville Public School System and the clothing closet that you have in the basement that freely gives to anyone who knocks on the door. You continue to live that mission in your life, not holding on tightly to what God has blessed you with, but being willing to open your hands in sharing. After the pastor received the tie from his church member, he had a conversation with his associate pastor. The associate was impressed by the gift, but he couldn't resist asking the pastor a question. Why didn't you compliment the man on the car he was driving? Second, a loving way of life that is open and receptive to others. Jesus is a model of receptivity, and he challenges us to be open to the needs of others. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus gets out of a boat and immediately receives a request from a leader of the synagogue to come and heal his daughter. As Jesus is going to her, he is interrupted by a woman with a bleeding problem. And you know the story. Instead of being annoyed, Jesus attends to her and only after that finally makes it to the leader's house, only to find that the little girl is dead. But Jesus is not discouraged. He tells the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And then he raises the little girl from the dead. Jesus shows us that the power of God is seen clearly in a life of openness and receptivity to the needs of others. We are told that in Jerusalem, awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. They cared for people around them, and as a result, they had the goodwill of all the people. Your support of ministries like The Table, who reach out to the disenfranchised, your work as a reconciliation team, bringing reconciliation of Christ to all people, tells me that here at First Lutheran Church, your openness and receptivity to those in need continue in these days. Thirdly, a loving way of life that is marked by spiritual maturity is what we learn about the church in Jerusalem. The members devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They made sure that they were nourished by teaching and preaching, communion and prayer. Spiritual feeding was needed before church members could go out and feed the hungry around them. Acts tells us that as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. Their worship and fellowship strengthened them as followers of Christ, changing their behavior and making them more interested in the fruits of the Spirit than in the works of the flesh. The rhythm of life in the church is coming together to be nourished by worship and Holy Communion and Bible study and fellowship and prayer, and thus girded and strengthened going out into our communities and into the world to do what you can with what you have. I read that yesterday was your building day for Habitat for Humanity, and I remember the joy that the members had when I was here and we had the opportunity to participate in that building day for Habitat for Humanity. But it's only because you gathered here in a spirit of fellowship and worship and strengthening that you had that energy and that resolve to go out and give yourselves in that way. You see, my friends, Jesus wants to be part of a church that is spiritually mature, rooted in prayer and contemplation. The fruits of that kind of community are acts of compassion and generosity. Such a life is described well by the Apostle Paul in his first letter to Timothy, where he challenges his fellow Christians to do good, to be rich in good works, generous, and ready to share. The results, says Paul, is life that really is life. So, my friends, Jesus wants us to enjoy this kind of life, one that is marked by a lack of attachment to material things, by openness and receptivity to others. He wants us to build a community of justice and generosity, one that is rooted in contemplation and committed to acts of compassion. When we do that, the Christian church won't be questioned or ridiculed by the world. Instead, it will receive the goodwill and support of all the people. That's a church that Jesus would be proud to join. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And please stand as you are able, and we will sing our hymn of the day.